Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. We're glad to have you back here with us on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We are coming to you again from San Antonio, Texas, with this week's edition of the broadcast. My name is Jonathan Daugherty. I'm here with Steven Cervantes. And Steven, how are you doing this morning?
Great. Thank you.
Good. Well, I'm excited about getting rolling on this broadcast. We are going to be talking in this particular broadcast on why work on purity. I mean, what's the real point? Why are we doing this? Why is this a valuable effort? You know, why would we even attempt this great and seemingly impossible task?
And what is the spiritual implication?
Sure, yeah. So what we're going to do this week is we are going to kind of take you through some scripture that will hopefully help to outline what we're trying, the point we're trying to get across on why this is important. The first thing we want to talk about on this subject is the fear that we all have concerning this topic. And the verse that we've got for this is 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. And it says, "But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ."
Ooh, I like that. I mean, it's hard, but it's honest. You can be deceived if you're not seeking truth in honesty and purity. There's deception. And you know what? Your own mind can participate in this journey of deception, just as Eve was deceived by the evil one.
And don't we all, to a degree, have that fear, like, I can't do this. I can't. And I think part of that fear also comes from our false belief that purity is complicated.
Yes, and I love this verse because it says, and did you say where it came from?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because it says simplicity. It says we're going to be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. It's not difficult in theory.
Well, and the thing I like about that is he's making it very clear that devotion to Christ is not complex.
Yes.
It's not something that, it's too lofty. I can't wrap my mind around it. It's too difficult. It's too, you know, complicated.
Yes.
He said it's simple.
And evil would love to deceive you, weave its way into your own mind, and lead you astray from the purpose that we are called to. And what's the purpose? It's very simple, it says. It's purity and devotion to Christ.
So that's the fear that we have. There's this fear that we're going to be led away. There's this fear that we're going to be deceived. Or there's this fear that we simply can't do it because it's too complicated. Well, sometimes what we tend to do in response to that fear is we create a false purity. Or we display a false purity. And I see this a lot in even guys who, in their initial stages of attempting recovery, they may still present somewhat of a false purity. Or a lot of folks in church are presenting a false purity.
And you know what? Those guys come into group and they have the answer. Have you heard these guys? I cannot believe guys will show up. It's funny because they only show up one time. They dominate the session and they tell you all these scriptures of what you're supposed to do, but they can't do it. Mm-hmm. But they can talk good.
Yeah.
They can sound like they can do it, but they haven't woven that truth deep in their heart.
And we got a couple of verses here that illustrate this false purity. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, "Who can say I have cleansed my heart? I am pure of sin."
Yeah, and I would say, who can say I've cleansed my own heart? I did it myself. And you know what? There's no evil in me. I cleaned up my own house, and I put it all in order.
Well, and that also plays in with in 1 John when it says, he who claims to have no sin is a liar.
Ooh.
You know, you lie if you say you have no sin. And so that's a false purity to come before a group or another person and say, I've cleansed my heart, I've done it myself, and I'm totally pure of sin. Another verse we have there is Proverbs 30, verse 12. It says, there is a kind of man who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness.
So we could kind of deceive ourselves and we can deceive others, but deep down inside, all the dirt exists, the shame, the guilt, the filth. And it looks like I took a bath and got all cleaned up, but there's still stink in the air.
And don't we see this in guys who, I like to call it men who've lowered the standard. These are guys who kind of set up in their mind their own set of purity rules. In other words, well, you know, masturbation once a week, you know, to fantasy thoughts in my head, I can maintain that. That's okay. So that's quote unquote purity for me.
It's funny. I had lunch with a guy and he said to me, you know, I know you do a lot of sexual purity stuff. He said, I look at some porn, but it's not out of control. He just went right on eating like I was going to go, yeah, that's just fine. Everybody should have a little diet of poison porn. It's going to be good for your soul.
Yeah, and so I think we kind of set up these own, like this says here, you know, we think there's a form of purity in our own eyes. We see it as purity, but God has a very different standard.
And that's what we said earlier about deceiving ourselves, right? Because I think the honest cry is, I have created, you know, a false God, a false place within my being, a false sense of where I have to go and take care of myself, and really crying out and saying, Lord, I need your help to clean up that place is probably more honest purity instead of this false purity.
Yeah, because as long as we stay in this false purity, as that verse states, it says, we're not washed from our filthiness. So as long as we operate in this mentality of saying, oh, I've got it all together, I'm pure, I've cleaned myself, and what I say is pure in my life is pure, as long as we stay in that false sense of purity, we're not clean. We're filthy, and we need to be clean. Mm. Well, what's the goal? So we've talked a little bit about the fear and this false purity. So what is the goal? Let's talk about some, there are some great verses that really outline what the goal is in our lives concerning purity. A couple of them are found in Philippians. The first one is Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says this, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life.
Ooh, that's rich.
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Blameless and innocent. You know, are those terms you use to describe men? You know, are those manly terms? Because, you know, he told us to be like children, to have that kind of faith, but also to have that, you know, kind of belief and innocence, and to be above reproach and to trust in the Father, be blameless and innocent and above participating what the world would like to offer you.
And what I love is the word picture he gives here. When we present ourselves as blameless and innocent, what we automatically do in that is we appear as lights.
I like it.
In the world. I mean, how can you, I mean, talk about an incredible contrast. We live in a darkened, as he puts it here, crooked and perverse generation. I mean, does that just describe our generation? You bet it does. And that's darkness. It's pitch black. But when we, as children of God, walk as blameless and innocent children, we stand out. We shine. We provide what I like to call a beacon of hope.
Yes. Hey, let's bless each other. I'm going to say something to you. You say it back to me, and then the listeners out there have to repeat it wherever they are out loud. If you're driving, if you're in a room, if you're outside. So what I would say to you as a blessing, Jonathan, is that you are a light to this world.
Mm. And I would say back to you, that as a blameless and innocent child of God, you are a light to the world.
Thank you. We pause for you to say it out loud.
And if you need to go into your bathroom and look in the mirror, if you're not around somebody that you can bless, do that.
Yeah.
Just look yourself in the mirror and say, Jonathan, Stephen, John, Jim, whatever your name is, you are a light to the world.
Yes, and I'll say it and you say it to the listener. Just hear these words and let them go deep with you in your being. In your Father's eyes, your pursuit of innocence and purity makes you a light in a dark world.
And I would repeat again, as a blameless and innocent child of God, you stand out as a beacon of hope. You stand out as a light in this world.
Amen.
Another verse that really establishes what the goal is in this pursuit of purity is in Philippians 4:8. And I repeat and recite and use this verse all the time with myself as well as with other men who will ask the question, well, how do you, you know, what is purity about? What does God expect in terms of me living a lifestyle of purity? And Philippians 4:8 says this: finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of praise, let your mind dwell on these things.
Wow. You know what? As you're saying that, I was reading it, and it's really God. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, and that's God's truth, whatever is honorable, which is life that honors the Father, whatever is right and true, that's who He is, whatever is about His lovely creation, whatever is about praising your Father, let your mind dwell, let your mind park, rest, take ownership, reside, dwell on these things.
And you know, if you think about this, if you let your mind dwell on these things, is there really any possibility of darkness entering your mind? I mean, think about it. If you are wrapping your mind, if you are pointing your mind towards truth, that which is honorable and right and pure and lovely, and that which is praiseworthy, your mind is clean.
Wow.
You know, you've got a clean mind.
Theme verse, because you know what we said earlier about the fear that Satan will slip in and Satan will weave the deceptive web and use Satan's craftiness to get into your mind and lead you astray. The Father has said, you want to avoid that? You want to block that? You want to make sure that never happens? It's in Philippians 4.
Mm-hmm. And we looked also at that fear. You know, it said that what gets led astray is our mind. That's what the enemy is trying to lead astray, is our mind. But as we focus on the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, how do we do that? What is involved in that? What's the goal? Focusing on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely. That is the goal. And there's a responsibility that we have in this process, because it says, let your mind. We have to open the gateway for our mind to focus on those things. By just the natural drift, our mind is not going to go towards what is true and honorable and right and pure. We have to take a responsibility of saying, okay, mind, I want you to focus on what is true and what is right. And so there's great reward in that, because we have our minds are clean when we are focusing on that.
And I don't know if this strikes you, but I've recently been really thinking about myself differently. And really to mess up sexually, you have to believe that that's okay, and that's your view of yourself, and every man's a bit of a sexual pig anyway, and so if you're sloppy and slopping around, who cares if you're sloppy? But this verse has the word honorable in it. And I have been playing with the idea that I want to be a man of honor. I want to be honorable. That's the vision I want to have of myself, not of eating slop.
That's great. There's one more verse in this section where we're going to be talking about what the goal is. And it comes from 2 Timothy 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Another great verse says, "Now flee your youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart."
I like this verse.
Oh, yeah.
Because it makes the assumption automatically. Just says, it doesn't say, well, do you have any youthful lusts, or did you pick up any youthful lusts, or check your pockets and see if there's any youthful lust in your pocket. No, it says flee. The assumption is everybody has youthful lusts, and separate yourself from your habit of playing with your youthful lusts.
Mm-hmm. And Paul had stated in another one of his epistles to flee sexual immorality. There's this, it's not something to be pandered to. It's not something to be buddied up with. It's not something we are to stay anywhere near. I mean, the idea of fleeing, I mean, I get this picture in my mind of somebody, you know, walking around in the woods and they're about to step on a rattlesnake. They don't start stroking its head or trying to go and sit next to it, or I mean, they're running as fast as they possibly can to get away from that dangerous
thing.
They're
not trying to see if it's alive,
yeah,
or see if they can take the rattler home,
yeah,
you know, and show their buddies. They're moving to say danger lurks.
And the thing I like about this verse also is it doesn't just, how many times, Stephen, in the church is there a poor, courageous guy that finally is brave enough to open up about his struggle with, let's say, a pastor, an elder, or somebody in the church?
Yes.
And what is he given? He's immediately given, well, just stop it. Run away from it. Without any balance to what do I do?
Yes. And the minister usually thinks, okay, it'll be cured in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Not go work on this for 6 months. Or, I'm glad we're going to have an honest dialogue man-to-man here. This is a tough one. Let's work on it together.
And what I like about this verse is it doesn't stop. It doesn't just stop with flee your youthful lusts. It says flee and now pursue righteousness, faith,
good.
Love. He balances it. He says, I know you've got youthful lusts, and you got to run away from those. But what are you running toward? You're running toward righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And you're not doing it alone, he says, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart.
Yeah, I want to emphasize the last part, because it says, call on the Lord from a pure heart. And it's like, well, who has a pure heart? Who can call him? I mean, I get this picture of like home plate that's covered with sand, and the umpire goes over there and he brushes off, and it's a clean home plate. It's pure. It's good. It's like the blood of Jesus can cleanse us, and we can go find a time of prayer and purity. We can hold a pure place. And we can cry out from a place of purity if we're holding on to Christ and his promises. We can go before the Father and say, I'm calling you, Father.
And what I love about this is it reminds us that it is Christ who has given us the pure heart.
Mm.
Really, there's nothing within us that we couldn't muster up enough goodness, or we couldn't, you know, pull our bootstraps up tight enough to where somehow we could create that in ourselves. He's making it very clear that when we call on him, he's the one who's given us a pure heart. He's the one who's able to do that.
And that's good.
And our responsibility is to call on him.
He already gave us the means to call on him. Isn't that a great Father?
Exactly. And you know what? For those of us, and for those of you listening who have really, you've dived deep into sexual sin, you've been immersed in it for years, you have felt the hopelessness and the shame, this verse is incredibly encouraging, because it is a verse that's filled with possibilities. It's filled with hope. There's nothing in this verse that says it's impossible for you to call on God. There's nothing that says you cannot and you're incapable of pursuing righteousness, faith, love, or peace. And there's nothing in here that says there's no way, because you've gone too deep, that you could ever flee those lusts. This is full
of
possibilities.
Stop right here and now. Stop and start turning around
the same
wherever
way,
you are.
Yeah, in the same way that there's the assumption that you have youthful lusts, there's also the assumption that you can flee from them.
Mm, that's good.
Nothing that says that somebody's gone too far, that somebody's gotten too deep.
Asterisk with the exception. Except are you really, really bad boys out there.
Exactly. Well, so that's the goal. We've outlined some things that are the goal that we're shooting for, and all of these verses bring with them the possibility that because God has cleansed us, we are able to therefore pursue these things.
Yes.
But there's also a benefit. We want to talk about the benefit that can come in this world. The benefit, the verse we've got for that is Proverbs 22, verse 11. It says, "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend."
So we got to break it down. You know that.
Sure.
And it's the mission to have purity of heart. And would you say you're learning to love purity of heart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I started loving purity of heart. I don't think I started out with a love for purity of heart.
It felt more like an obligation or a duty.
Yes, a call. We're called to do it. Go stand over there until I tell you what else to do. You had to show up to work today, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. But be here and stand over there and claim that purity. You're supposed to have it, you know. So, I mean, it's a call to a place, but I don't think we understand what happens when we go to that place until we go there and we realize we are being transformed and we can actually fall in love with our call, our mission of purity.
And I think this falls in line really well with us appearing as lights in the world, because as we gain a love for purity of heart, that really stands out from, you know, unfortunately there are very, very many Christians who they display their Christianity as this burdensome duty. And yet as we gain a love and a passion for the freedom that we experience because we are walking in purity, that gives a different flavor to a watching world. And it even, as it says here, gains us a respect in a corrupt world where the king is our friend, where leadership, where people maybe in places of government or even our community recognize that and say, this person lives from a different place, lives with a different standard. They actually pursue their Christianity and their righteousness and purity with a passion that is even different from other believers.
And really, if I'm honest, I think I have to pray more for God to give me a greater love for purity of heart and the purity mission. Because sometimes we talked in earlier programs about getting tired, and I think that's our flesh.
Sure.
But I think he wants to renew our spirit. And I think partly, our prayer is an important aspect of that. In getting the right mindset and going before the Father in the fact that he would really want us to enjoy this purity and innocence and blamelessness as a good thing.
Excellent. Well, we're going to have to keep going here because we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Do you want to break here and make this a two-part?
We could, yeah, because you know what we're going to do, listeners, what we've got from this point on is we want to talk about the eternal purpose, but we also want to give some how-tos.
Yes.
And so, yeah, let's go ahead and break here, and we will come back next week with a second broadcast on the eternal purpose, and then also how can a young man keep his way pure. What are some how-tos in keeping purity?
Yeah, but before we leave, I've got to say this one thing on this verse from Proverbs 22:11. It says, "His speech is gracious," which means that's the fruit from a good heart, as you will hear purity coming out in people's language. And it says, "The king is his friend." Mm-hmm. Now, who wrote this book? The King of Kings. And he said, "These are my people. These are my kind of friends. I want audience with people of purity. The king will be the friend of the pure."
And the idea of that speech being gracious is also what's on the inside comes out.
Yes.
When you've got purity of heart, it's going to be reflected in how you talk, how you behave.
Yes.
What's on the inside eventually comes out.
So we're going to close by saying there's going to be a grand audience before the king. And I believe the men that have pursued purity, he's going to call them to the front.
Mm-hmm.
and be part of that grand celebration one day.
Excellent. Well, we're glad you've been with us this week on this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We are going to be back here next week and wrap up this particular talk on why work on purity. What are we working toward here? So please be with us next week, and we'll see you back here again. Well, folks, we want to slip in a great promotional item for you this week. We have a resource that we have written here at Be Broken Ministries. It's called The 40 Days of Purity. Stephen Cervantes is the primary author, and myself, Jonathan Daugherty, helped contribute to it. And what this is this was born actually out of some seminars that Steve and I did where we would challenge men to 40 days of purity, giving themselves over for 40 days of offering purity to God. And so we wanted to put something together that would help men along this journey, help them start out in their journey for purity. And so we wrote the 40 Days of Purity workbook. And we want to offer this to you this week. For any of you who call in and mention that you heard about this offer on the radio program, we're going to offer you the discounted price of only $10. This is normally $14.99, but we want to give it to you for $10. And you know what? We're going to include, that will include shipping and handling to anyone in the continental United States. Call in, write us, let us know that you heard about the 40 Days of Purity workbook through the radio broadcast today, and we will get this out to you for only $10. It's a great way to start your journey, or even if you've been on the journey for a little while and you just need to, you need a devotional that's really going to kick it up a notch, so to speak, then this is the way to do it. This will really help you to focus and get on track in your pursuit of purity.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.